We're so glad that we can communicate with you through the means of internet. And tonight we're going to be looking at the last part of the of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation and all of chapter 20. And so tonight, just to remind everybody where we were last week, we had seen the marriage supper of the Lamb prepared and ready. Then we saw heaven opened and to the earth and a rider on a great white horse coming with an army following him. The rider of the white horse is different from the rider that we saw in chapter 6. The rider in chapter 6 was a counterfeit Christ. In chapter 19, where we are tonight, this is no counterfeit. It is the real Jesus Christ, and he's coming to finish his work on earth. We're in the army following him on white horses and wearing white robes that are the righteousness of Christ. We're not coming to fight or do anything but watch as Jesus takes care of the remaining business of earth in preparation for the millennial reign of Christ, which we will see tonight. Now we're ready to start tonight's study. Revelation 19, beginning at verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You know, Scripture is filled with references to the association between Jesus and the Word. In verse 13 of this chapter, we see Jesus clothed in a vesture dipped in his own blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we read in John 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The reason that I mention this association of Jesus with the Word is because of the sharp sword coming out of his mouth. It is the Word of God, and we are told in Revelation 2:12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. In another passage, we are told in Hebrews 4:12 and 13, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eye of him with whom we have to do. In the passage in Hebrews, we're given a hint about the work that Jesus would accomplish on earth before he was finished. We're going to see that work done in the 20th chapter. But for now, we have a description of the person who is coming to be victor in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's continue. How I love this next verse, Revelation 19, 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This verse tells us that he had a name written in two places, on his thigh as a symbol of his humanity from the line of David, and on his vesture, which also had the blood of his sacrifice and was the symbol of his office. Can there be any doubt as to who this was and what is the office that he occupied? He is the King of all kings, and he is the Lord of all lords. He rides the great white horse as he comes in all authority and power to finish the job he started at Calvary. Revelation 19, 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. You know, the mental picture is interesting. An angel standing in the sun, not on the sun. The purpose is to bring attention from all the observers on earth as to the message that he brings. And actually, the message should have struck fear and trembling into the heart of all who heard it. The angel was calling the birds and the animals that eat carrion to supper. The carrion was going to be the dead bodies of all the lost people who lived on earth. What a way to come to an end. Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now the army is defined, enemy is defined. The realization has not been established in the minds of the enemy as to who is going to do battle. For so long, the target of the enemy has been the Lord's people. But this time, it will be different. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. They wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now these are the two beasts that we saw rise up out of the sea and the earth in chapter 13 of Revelation. They deceived all those living on the earth who had received the mark of the beast. The first was a political beast, which was given power by the devil, the devil was in the form of a dragon. The second beast was a religious beast, and through his miracles, he caused the people to worship the first beast. They were living beings with evil souls that could be tormented for all of eternity. Their end came in the lake of fire. Revelation 19:21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You see now why I said that we wouldn't have to do anything? All that we were there for was to watch. By the time that we get to heaven, our work and warfare are over. We are there to praise God and the Lamb who now exercises a victory over the evil residents of earth. This is not the end yet, but we will reach the end in the next chapter. Let's go on to chapter 20. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. Now, this is a part of the book of Revelation that some people don't quite understand. God is sovereign, and he needs no man's approval to do whatever he desires or understands to be best for all involved. Here we see an angel come down from heaven and do something that even Gabriel had trouble doing. We see an angel with the power of God upon him take hold of the devil. Here he is called the dragon, the old serpent, Satan, and bind him in hell for 1,000 years. All of the power of the devil was taken from him, and he was rendered harmless in hell, unable to influence anyone for 1,000 years. Now, the devil's influence was not ended, because at the end of 1,000 years, he will be loosed to tempt all those who have never experienced temptation. The devil will be in hell for an interval of 1,000 years, called the millennial reign of Christ upon this earth. The earth will once again be like it was in the Garden of Eden. There will be no sin or pain or death or sickness or anything that would not glorify Jesus. You and I have been given a promise that we will reign with him during this time. Revelation 5:10 tells us, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, some might say, well, that's in this same book. Where's the promise given? Let me show you. 2 Timothy 2, 10 through 13. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, a lot of people don't think about this, but God has never forced anyone to be saved. Salvation is a volitional decision made by every individual. Are we going to believe and obey God, or are we going to deny him and be denied by him? You see, during the millennial reign of Christ, there will be babes born, and they will grow up without sin because there will be no sin in the millennium. They will have to be tempted so that they can decide for themselves their path. They will have to choose God's way or the devil's way. That's the same decision that you and I had to make about being saved. Revelation 24. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This verse is pretty clear in what happens to us. All those who successfully go through the tribulation will also join us. These souls will reign with Jesus. Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Can there be any question about what we're going to do with Christ during the millennium? We're going to be reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years on this earth, as was intended to be. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of this prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I must admit that these four verses are difficult for me to comprehend about what happens at the end of the 1,000 years. The devil is loosed, and he deceives a great many. They gather in the area where Japheth settled. Remember, the sons of Noah. The area north of what we call the Middle East. Magog is the land. Gog is the prince of the land. Jesus has one last battle to fight, and that will take place around the holy city, Jerusalem. Evil is going to lose. Now, it's almost over. I would be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that about the disposition of the devil in the lake of fire. Earlier, the two beasts were cast into the lake of fire. We see them still there and in torment when the devil is cast into the lake of fire. They are still existing, just as all who will be cast into the lake of fire will be for all of eternity. The verbiage clearly indicates that they are there, not were there. They will be in total torment forever. Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. Now this single verse, verse 11, sets up the next two chapters. The heaven and the earth dissolve from being, just as Peter explained in 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12 tells us, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, plural, shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in a holy conversation and godliness? Look for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And there you have the preparation and the event itself. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The work of Jesus Christ is now complete. He has completed the judgment of all those who have rejected his salvation. It's time for him to receive the glory due him. That also brings us to the end of chapter 20, and we'll stop here for tonight, and we'll continue next week, if the Lord gives us next week, with chapter 21. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for sharing with us what you have in mind for this old world. Thank you that you took the time to send your Son, that you loved us enough to send him to die on Calvary, that his blood might cover our sins. Father, if there's anyone listening to this message tonight, may it strike fear in their heart, that they will turn to Jesus, that they will seek him, that they will receive him as their personal Savior. And Father, may we all gather before your throne one day. And may we praise you and praise Jesus Christ for all that he does. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.